Westwood One presents Roger Daltrey, Off the Record with Mary Turner, brought to you by Budweiser, the king of beers. For all you do, this Bud's for you. And by the only jeans that shrink to fit you and you alone, Levi's Buttonfly 501 Blues. Roger Daltrey, Off the Record.
It was the right attitude to make this album. It was definitely the right mental thing for me, the right motivation. This is the last one, and this is everything I've got. And I really did give it everything, believe me. There's a lot of pain on that record.
Roger Daltrey, a man who found out the hard way that a career change after 20 years on the job is not easy, and they don't give gold watches in rock and roll. I'm Mary Turner, and for the next hour, I'll be talking with Roger about the next 20 years. He's exercised a few rock demons, and he's ready to roll Off the Record.
In the searchlights, you could see us as we circled around. Down below us, you were screaming, I could hear the sound. I could see your arms reaching up to me. Like a demon, feel the madness running through the town. We were freedom from the moment that we hit the ground.
Roger Daltrey says the hardest thing about making a solo record is finding the right songs. Roger is still not the most prolific songwriter in the world, and after working with Pete Townsend, rock's resident poet laureate, for 20 years, you develop rather high standards. But on Under a Raging Moon, Roger says he's finally licked the problem.
Well, what I've done here, I've collaborated with writers. I found songs that were already written and had them changed and changed them myself. And also, I've written two complete lyrics, which is a good breakthrough for me. They're good lyrics too. There's one song called Don't Satisfy Me, which is it's a pun at heavy metal, because for the last 15 years, all the record companies have been trying to get me to do a heavy metal record, and it doesn't satisfy me. I like other people doing it, and I can listen to them, but I'm not a good heavy metal singer. I'm really not. I feel I've broken through that mental block of being intimidated by really the genius of Townsend, because I'm such an admirer of his. And to be singing the best lyrics for 20 years, it does spoil you. But then I'm quite proud of my lyrics on this too. I did the melody on The Pride You Hide, and I worked on Don't Talk to Strangers with Julia Downs. So I'm very pleased with the progress so far. But more than that, I think even the songs where I haven't got a credit on the album, I've worked with the writers to make the songs mine.
After the fire still burns. The heart grows old, but never ever learns. The memory smolder, and the soul always yearns. After the fire. The fire still burns.
After the Fire was the last song to appear on this album. It came, Pete and I had been discussing doing the project next year, and I was in a restaurant talking to a friend of mine about being a song short on the record. I recorded all the other songs, and who should come in but Pete Townsend? He says, I've got a record, I've got a song for you. So I've written it for you. He said, it's for the next project, he said, but it's, I want it out now. He said, I'm going to donate the royalties to Band-Aid. He said, get it out now, just put it on your record. And there it was, After the Fire. There's about three other songs on the record already recorded that have got fire in them, and have got direct references to After the Fire. It's just uncanny how it all came together.
The voice brings back memories. Shadows of the blue room. Those were free and easy times. We would never fall behind. The innocence abused with every hall we played. Unaware of the
parting should be painless, but most of the time it's not. Roger Daltrey talks about healing the wounds of a divorce. Off the record.
Hi, this is Cheech.
And this is Cheech.
And what?
And this is Chong.
Oh, yeah. And we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to the Westwood One Radio Network. Keep listening.
We're back with Roger Daltrey, Off the Record. This album sounds more like Roger Daltrey of The Who, which is a first for you on your solo records.
My solo albums, while The Who was in existence, were always an alternative kind of music. I was always very conscious of not to do any kind of music that would tread on the toes of the style of The Who, because that, for me, is sacrilege. You can't do that. I had The Who to do that kind of music with, and that my style of singing in that way belonged to The Who and no one else. And Parting Should Be Painless, that album really was a transitional album. It was, I didn't know what to do. I thought, I couldn't see myself doing another Who thing. Again, I was so turned upside down at that period in my life. And that's what that album did. And obviously people couldn't identify me with that kind of music. But 2 years after the event now, this album, I wanted to do exactly the opposite. I wanted to sing like I sing with The Who. I wanted to embrace everything I've done in the past and celebrate it.
My time is wasting, feel I'm moving too slow. Can't get my pedal to the metal, but I'm ready to go. Life in the fast lane, there's trouble ahead. I better move over, you're a long time dead. I'm chasing rainbows in the cold light of day. It feels like I'm wasting my
I'm really proud. I can look on it now with pride for the first time in my life. Before it was almost like that was someone else doing all that. And that it was never me. And people used to say, well, what does it feel like to do Tommy at Woodstock and do this? And it was all like a dream. And I said, I can't really tell you. But I can tell you now, it was fabulous. It was really great. And I had such a good time and I'm really proud of it. And that's how I feel now. It's great. For the first time in my life, I can look on it objectively. It's a very strange thing to happen to someone at the age of 40.
Deep in the back of my mind is an unrealized sound. Every feeling I get from the street says it soon could be found. When I hear the cold lies of the pusher, I know it exists. It's confirmed in the eyes of the kids, emphasized with their fists. But the high has to rise from the low.
Pete looks a lot more at ease these days. Do you think that writing songs is easier for him now that he's not worrying about the next Who record?
He'd lost sight of the Who as a vehicle to write to, and it did become a responsibility. Whereas before it used to be very easy, because he could see it as he had a picture of what the band was. He can just go, right, that's what it needs. And like he says, he can write songs for me incredibly easily because he can see me as a picture. He knows me so well. He knows my innermost feelings. We don't need to talk to each other very long before we know exactly what we've been through for the last 6 months. It's that kind of relationship. And now The Who isn't there and he hasn't got that responsibility of writing stuff for a band that he can't see a picture of, he's in good shape. He's still a great writer. He's got a lot more to come too, I think.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man, behind the blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies.
I've heard rumours that your next album will be all Townsend songs.
Yes, we've got an idea. I can't talk too much about it because it's all very much in the kind of real infancy stage. But we are going to do an album, and I've always said to Pete and always believed that Townsend is the only writer capable of coming up with a rock musical that can encapsulate rock music as it at its best, with intelligent lyrics and not ooh baby, come and do something to me, baby, you know, which is what most of it tends to get like. So I've been on at him for years. Come on, Pete, let's write. Because when we did Tommy, it wasn't supposed to be a musical. I mean, it was all hyped up a bit and presented as an opera, but it wasn't actually ever designed for stage, for instance. And I hopefully the next thing we do, we'll have that in mind while we're doing it, which would be nice. So it could end up being an album and a musical and I don't know about a film, but it's getting it on stage. When you go to the West End, I go to the theatre quite a lot. I haven't seen a good rock musical ever. I think Hair was a good attempt, but it's a long time ago now. That's about all those boring hippies too. But the music to that was good. I mean, but since then, I don't think there's been anything. I don't think you can call Jesus Christ Superstar a rock musical, really. It's not pure rock, like in the way Townsend could do it.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That depth on the flying kid sure plays a mean pinball. Like a statue becomes part of the machine.
In 1983, America witnessed The Who's farewell tour. In July of 1985, the world watched The Who's brief reunion concert. It was just a few minutes at Live Aid in Wembley, but The Who had enough of the old power left to blow the telecast off the air. In just a moment, Roger Daltrey talks about the one-night stand with his old love, off the record. I'm Mary Turner. The Pride You Hide, coming up next on Roger Daltrey, Off the Record. July 13, 1985, Live Aid. Over a billion people watched rock's most ambitious event. 63 different acts performing in London and Philadelphia linked via satellite and beamed all over the world. Organizer Bob Geldof called it a global jukebox and hoped it would raise millions of dollars for famine relief for Africa. It did. Three of the musicians that Geldof recruited for the event were a little rusty, but Roger Daltrey says it didn't take long for he and Pete Townsend and John Entwistle to remember what The Who did for a living.
I had a great time. I enjoyed being up there. I loved the event. And it felt great to be playing again with Pete and John. It was great. You know, that's the main love in my life, is The Who. But there again, I could also say that was fabulous and it was nice to have done it once. And it didn't hurt afterwards. I was expecting it to be painful afterwards, but it wasn't. So that was nice. I felt when I came off is if it really is it, I can accept it now. And that was nice too, to be able to accept it. Because the last 2 years have been very traumatic. And that's really what The Pride You Hide on the record, on the album I've done. There's a song called The Pride You Hide. And although it's, to most people, it will be a boy-girl relationship, the girl in that song to me is The Who. And it was the last 2 years, and that's how it felt. Oh, it's a big brave face, and oh yeah, well, we're going on to better things and all that, but inside it hurts.
I'm not the kind of guy to let jealousy break me up inside. I've got no time for sympathy. That girl, she's just a memory over which I'll glide. Some say that I shouldn't care.
He's sung the lyrics of Townsend and performed the works of Shakespeare. What's next for Roger Daltrey? We'll find out right after this, Off the Record.
Hi, this is Bob Geldof on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Tommy, Listomania, McVicker, Comedy of Errors, The Beggar's Opera. Roger Daltrey's list of movie and television credits is becoming as impressive as his vocal work. And even now, with a new solo album and a Townsend collaboration in the wings, Roger still makes time for acting.
Well, hopefully. I mean, at the moment, I'm doing a children's five-part TV series where I'm playing an old teddy boy and the father of a teenager who's going through the pain of adolescence. I'm going through the pain of having the wife that's left, and I'm on the dole. But it's a nice thing. It's for schools. There's quite a few things being offered, but I don't like to do things unless I can really identify with them or feel that they've got some kind of artistic merit. There's enough actors out there, good actors out there, out of work to do. I don't want to take work out of them. I have to do something that really does mean a lot to me.
Are you anxious to do a tour now? Go out and do these new songs live?
Well, I mean, the album, I could have done the album live. That's what I'm so pleased about. I mean, if I hadn't changed so many of the lyrics while we were doing it, I would have done most of the album live, no doubt about it. In fact, After the Fire is live. It's just the harmony vocal is dubbed on and the Ebow guitars. All the rest of it is all live. I mean, it is designed for me to go out and sing it on stage. I can't wait to do it. I really can't. And it looks like it's going to be a really big record in the States, so hopefully I'll be out there before the spring at least. I hate to say before Christmas, because Christmas seems to have come around every weekend these days, doesn't it?
Can you hear that sound? It's all around you and me. There's a voice. It searched and found you.
We talked before about this being your last album. Is that how you think of it?
Yeah, well, I must be honest and say that really was the attitude I went into the studio with to make this album. I thought, if I'm going to do it, this is going to be my last one. I'm really going to give it everything I've got. Now I've seen the results of giving it everything I've got. And I had such a good time. I found a really good new band for me to support me. I don't think it will be my last one now. I think I'll be doing shows before the end of the year. And looking forward to my next album.
I made my way back to the old town, and everything looked just the same. The shops and the schools and the factories were there, but somehow the faces had changed. So I went for a walk in the high street, took my coat off and rolled up my sleeves, and I thought of my father.
Roger Daltrey, Off the Record with Mary Turner, has been brought to you by Budweiser, the king of beers. For all you do, this Bud's for you. And by the only jeans that shrink to fit you and you alone, Levi's Buttonfly 501 Blues. This special program was written and produced by Marcia Richeson. Production and engineering by Bill Levy. Off the Record with Mary Turner is a presentation of the Westwood One Radio Network. Executive producer, Norm Pattis.